Morning, church. I think there are few guests vacant in the front. Maybe all those behind can come in the front. Otherwise, I'll speak without the mic. Then you can't hear. Come. Let's, yeah, very good, Raj. Anybody else? Come. Okay, good. So, we are doing this series on our values. So, in case if you want to go through what our values is and you are like that smart student in the class who wants to know beforehand what the teacher is going to teach, then you can check out the website and get to know what we are going to be the next time. So, this Sunday, has any smart student checked what it's going to be? I think it's on Facebook also. It's there also. Okay. Yeah. So, yes. So, the value today that we are going to talk on is be equipped. Alright. So, before we start, because this is more of a practical thing, this is more of an insightful thing that we ourselves need to get a revelation of how we can be equipped. We just ask God to reveal to us and help us understand this word today. Father God, we want to thank you, Lord God, for this day, and thank you, Lord, for this word that you could bring into us, O Lord God. Lord, we want to pray, O Lord God, that even as we learn, we listen, Lord God, may it be scripted in our hearts, O Lord God, so that, O Lord God, we may know your heart, we may do as you say, and Lord God, that we may be very clear, O Lord God, as to what you want us to be equipped for. Lord God, we want to go back, O Lord, equipped and in control, because we know that you are in control, O Lord, all the things that we do. Lord, we bless this day and we bless this time, O Lord, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. So, just before we get into the value equipped, the church value says that we value training and equipping. We equip through modeling and providing opportunities to develop and build individuals in all that God has purposed for them, and that is evidently seen and which is unseen. Okay, so this is what is mentioned in our website. Now, when I say the word equipping or equipped, when you hear, and if I ask you, are you equipped to fight a war? Are we equipped to fight a war? No, Sam is saying no. Anybody else? He's saying yes, I am equipped to fight a war. There's a war going on somewhere in the world. Suppose if we send you, we import you there, will you be able to fight that war? Yes or no? Come on, it's easy. There's no right or wrong. Sorry? Only on video games. Achha, achha, achha. Anyone else? Why do you think you're not equipped? Why do you think you're not equipped? You're not trained. You're not trained for it. So, that means if I, before I send you there, if I train you, then what will happen? You will be equipped. Opponent is thinking that this is what I have to do. This is how I need to use my instrument or whatever thing that I need to use. This is how I need to support. Suppose, okay, fine, this is war. Okay, war nobody likes. But suppose if I were to say, oh, because I'm a very compassionate person and I know a person who is suffering with a tumor or a cancer or something, am I equipped to cure that person? What do you think? No? Why? Why am I not equipped to cure that person? I am compassionate, no? I really want to be that person. So, am I equipped or not equipped? No, why? We are not doctors. We have not been trained. So, if you see, there are these specific training or specific a way of teaching, or you have been taught in a certain manner. So a soldier will be equipped to fight a war. A doctor will be equipped to heal or cure that disease or get some, measures, preventive measures for that sickness. So that way. Okay, so we are not equipped for certain things, but we can be equipped to go about it. Okay, so for example, if I were to say now today, you go ahead and do your MBBS, go ahead and do your MD, then probably you will be equipped to answer this question and say, yes, I'm equipped to treat the sickness. So that means, what is the definition of being equipped? So equipping means to supply somebody or something with what is needed. Okay, to supply, provide, okay, something for a particular purpose, provided with whatever is necessary for a purpose. So like for war, you need gadgets and instruments, whereas for medicine, you need to learn medicine. Okay, so you prepare some mentally also. So if that person is not strong mentally, they're just going there. Okay, and there are a lot of bloodshed and you know, all that is happening, and you are traumatized because you can't see people getting killed off. Because you once upon a time thought that, oh, I'm so strong, I'm going to kill the enemy, but the enemy is also killing us. So if I go to a war zone, I need to be mentally also equipped that this is going to happen. This is how it is going to be. So I am equipped, prepared someone mentally for a particular situation or task. Alright, so this is what is being equipped. Now, a few weeks ago we spoke about being discipled. Okay, and now today we are going to talk about being equipped. So isn't it discipled and being equipped? What do you think? Is it similar or not similar? Not similar. How many of you all raise your hand? Say it's similar. Because Sandeep gave the answer, now everybody is doubtful. Come on, you will have your own discipleship and being equipped. So I am saying that I am training somebody. In discipleship also, I am discipling somebody. So it's the same, no? Mentor, mentee, trainer, training. How do you think it's not similar? Yes. Equipping can be for self also, whereas discipleship cannot be self. Because you need somebody to be disciple. Very good. That's the thinking congregation. Okay. So, what is it versus discipling? Disciple literally means pupil or learner. Means to teach me. I will have somebody to guide me. I will have somebody to help me. Whereas discipleship is a bigger umbrella and equipping is part of discipleship. So I cannot say that first I will be equipped, then I will be discipled. No, wrong. It's the other way around. So while I'm being discipled, my disciples can equip me. So it's two different things. But discipling is a bigger umbrella. Under discipleship, there are many other things that happen, and out of which one is equipping. Means my disciple might have seen me. Oh, okay. So you are singing. So why don't you join the worshiping? So I'm equipping that person for this particular ministry. For example, my disciple may say, oh, you're good with children. Join the Sunday school. So I'm equipping that person, training that person towards that goal. Okay, so that is what being discipled and being equipped is. So, yes, so discipleship is a bigger umbrella and equipping is part of discipleship. A person is equipped while being discipled, but not discipled after being equipped. Okay, so it's not vice versa. Now, suppose you say that, okay, fine, I don't think this equipping is my cup of tea. I don't want to do anything here. I'm very happy the way I am. I don't want to be equipped. What do you think will happen? I don't want to be trained in anything. I don't want to be, I don't want to be accountable to anything. If I say that and I say, okay, I'm very happy coming to church and going back home, do you think it's a very healthy behavior? No? Yes? But I am very busy. I have other work to do at home. So why should I be equipped for certain things? Okay. So, it says that what if I don't want to be equipped? Okay, so sometimes we may have that feeling because, not because we are those people, our personality says that, but because of genuine reasons, like maybe sickness at home, maybe we are too busy, maybe there are other responsibilities which is overpowering us. So, equipping not only happens in the church, but today, because we are speaking about this terminology in the church, we are talking only in the church context. Okay, so we are not saying that equipping in the office or in your organization, you might be equipped there, but here we are talking about the congregation, the church aspect. Now, if in the church aspect I say I don't want to be equipped because I'm too busy or I'm too occupied or I have other responsibilities, you know what will happen? We will become very lukewarm in our faith. We will not be able to exercise our faith in a way which will make me like a mature Christian. Means I will not go forward. I will only be stagnant. Like how last week Joe was saying that, you know, we have a testimony, but that testimony is about 10 years ago how God saved me. But in those 10 years, I may not have any other testimony. I will always go back to those 10, past 10 years, 10 years pehle, this has happened. Because I'm not equipped. I don't know what to do. Does not challenge my faith. It does not challenge my belief. It will only tell, oh, okay, once upon a time, Jesus did this. But where am I giving the space and the opportunity for the Holy Spirit to move in my life and say, come on, you can do this. Embrace these challenges or get on to this field and do this. Okay? So what happens is, early behavior. No, I don't think I have enough time for this, and I only look at my present. That means I only look at my life, which I am living. A general normal human being lives up to the age of 70, 80, 90, okay, 100, okay, maximum 110, the longest living person, okay. So, till the time, how I am going to live on earth. But what about after my death or after I have left the earth, okay? So what happens is my equipping is only for now and then, like, you know, only my present, but I'm not thinking about my eternity, I'm not thinking after my life. So I become very worldly and I say, okay, I don't think I need to provide bread and butter for my family and I'm very happy with it. I don't need all this equipment. Then what happens, I become very hypocritical in my witnessing. Means what? I will preach something, but I will not do it. Because I don't want to be, I don't want to be involved in all this. Okay, so I am a very good, maybe a theologian, I am very good with my doctrine, but I am not using it. What is the use of learning so much? And where I am not using it? Because I don't want to get involved. So the Bible says in John 15:8, this is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, show to disciples. So how do I show that I am a disciple of Jesus Christ? Until and unless I do not bear fruit, until and unless I do not walk in that path of being equipped, right? So, yes. Now the next is, who equips me? Who trains me? Who? In your organizational level? Senior? Or, okay, yeah. So basically you look up to a person who's already traveled that path or, you know, has gone through those experiences and you want them to tell you how to go about it, each step at a time, right? In a similar manner, we have, you know, God equips us. Okay, God may reveal to us that, okay, you can do this. If you look into it in detail, for example, your church pastor might just call you one day, or one of the leaders may call you one day and say that, hey, can you come over and grab the gift that we have for the annual day? Then what do you do? Oh, okay, such a small job they're calling me. No? So, but then what is happening is, we are equipping ourselves in humility, and not only that, but we are getting a detail of what is happening in the field. Okay, so this has to be done, that has to be done. And slowly we climb that ladder and say, okay, when I become the Sunday school coordinator, I know, okay, when I was in that place, when I was a teacher or an assistant, I did this, this, this. But now I am a coordinator, so I need also to equip the other person and call the other person over and say that this, this, this. When we are in the field, we get to know things. So that's why the church will equip us. So if we will start from small things, right? We will always start with small things. And then God will equip us into bigger things, right? So the community equips us. How? For example, if somebody is, or somebody is going through a crisis, the community, that is each other, we will say, okay, let's call up. So what is happening is there is a compassion that is being created. There is a belongingness that is being created. So that means we are equipping each other to bond with each other, and thereby we will be able to, like after they get better and we get a, we know that we can rely on this person, then we can pray for each other. So in that way, we are equipping each other in praying. We are equipping each other, say, in reading the Bible. We are helping, we are holding each other accountable. We say that, okay, are you reading your Bible? So in small things, we are creating bigger training sessions. So who equips? God equips, the church equips, the community equips. And like each other that we said, we equip ourselves also. Alright? Okay. Now, we thought that I'll take this story of Joshua. So do we know the background of Joshua? Who is Joshua? Okay. So Joshua is a person from the Old Testament. Okay? And if we have a Bible, can we read from Numbers 27, 18 to 20? It is already there, but maybe you can read it through Numbers 27. Okay, so it says that the Lord said to Moses, take Joshua, the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay your hands on him, and have him stand before Eleazar the priest and before all the congregation, and commission him in their sight. You shall put some of your authority on him, in order that all the congregation of the sons of Israel may obey him. It would be Joshua who would now lead the people into the promised land. Now, what do you think, Joshua? If you go on to read, okay, Numbers and the book of Joshua itself, you will come to know that Joshua was equipped to even fight wars. Okay, Joshua was told, given a task. Now, do you think it just happened? Oh, okay, one day Moses is going to die, he is growing old, so I need to give the baton to Joshua. Did it happen in a day or two? No. We can see that how God is preparing Joshua to take over Moses. That means in Exodus 33:11, if you look at it, how from where it all began, we can see it from Exodus 33:11. It says, Exodus 33:11, it says, thus the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face. Okay, it says very clearly, just as a man speaks to him. When Moses returned to the camp, his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, young man, would not depart from the tent. So that means God. But God was also noticing this one man, Joshua. Okay, God is not speaking to Joshua. God is speaking to Moses. But Joshua had that eagerness, that desire. God, I want you to speak to me also. I want to be like this person, Moses. See, he is not Moses' son. He must be one person from this Israelite camp who came along from Egypt. And this guy looks at this great guy, Moses, and says, wow, he can part the Red Sea. He can do this. And he commands. And then the water comes from the rock. So he's watching all this. And he says, I want to see. Moses, and what does he go and do in the mountain? He speaks to God face to face. And here very clearly it says that when Moses was speaking, who was in the camp, in the tent? Joshua was there. And then what happens is, eventually, in Numbers, okay, God says, take Joshua, the son of man, a man in whom is the spirit. Okay. But when God looks at us, He wants to equip us. So, can we tell our neighbor, God wants to equip me too? Yes. So, here we are like all 30 people sitting, okay? Now, if each one is equipped like Joshua, like, you know, God has looked at your heart and says that this is where my spirit dwells. And we go ahead and say, okay, some may be missionary, some may be pastor, some may do healing, some may do this. Imagine how powerful the city of Panvel would be, or probably outside Panvel. Okay, so we are not ordinary people. We are God's instrument. God has made us in so beautifully and wonderfully that He wants to use each of our talents, each of our gifting for His glory. Alright? So, we may think, "Arey, only Moses, He's talking only to Moses. I am only sitting here in the tent of meeting and talking." But what did God do? Over the period of time, God says, "This is Joshua. This is where my spirit is going." And then we see that how Joshua fought and got the promised land for the people. So it was Moses who led, but Joshua conquered the promised land. So we see that we should not be discouraged. Oh, only the leaders are only calling this person. Oh, God is only speaking to this person. So when we see worship time also, only few of them will come and speak. Okay, that God spoke to me this, God spoke to me that. But you may feel that, oh, God is not speaking to me only. I can't see anything. But God may be noticing your genuine heart, your desire to do something for His kingdom. And therefore, He will establish you just like Joshua. Okay, so now that is from the Old Testament. Now let's look at Timothy. So now Timothy is like us. Okay. We all now live in nuclear families and sometimes mixed families. So similarly, can somebody read 2 Timothy 1:5? We can see the background of Timothy here. Okay, unlike Joshua, who was a true Jew, Timothy is not a Jewish person. Okay, we'll see his background. So what do we understand from this? What is this? Who is this grandmother? Who is this mother Eunice? And who is this Timothy finally? Okay, so when we go on to read this, I just wanted you all to be introduced to Timothy. Timothy was, his father was a Greek. Okay, his father was a Greek and the mother was from the Jewish world. Alright, so what happens is Paul looks at this guy. Oh wow, Timothy. So he reminds him, "I am reminded of your sincere faith of the Greek origin." He says that, "I am reminded of your sincere faith." Now we may come from a different background altogether. We may have a parent who is in faith, not in faith. But Paul is saying, "I am reminded of your sincere faith, which was there in your grandmother and which is there in your mother. Now I am persuaded that lives in you also." Means you are also a person who can be used for the kingdom of God. Okay, so that is the story of Timothy. And then we also see that be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. What do you think? What is this diligence and give yourself wholly, etc., etc.? Who can tell this to whom? Yes. A teacher will always tell that, you know, do this, do that. And so what do you see? A pattern of equipping, right? See, he's saying that watch your life and doctrine closely. Why did he tell him to do that? Because eventually he's going to send Timothy out into another church, or he is going to make him another missionary. So if his doctrine and his life is not good enough, or is not watched carefully, that means people may point at him. Or life only, what is this? So he says, you train yourself first. You go through this training process. You get yourself taught. You do this, you do that. And therefore, if you see, eventually we have two books of Timothy. 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy. In this whole thing, it says how Timothy's journey has been, what he has done, how he has spoken to the churches, and how he was under Paul and he was passing those messages to those churches. So what are we learning here today? So be it any background, whether we are in the tent like Joshua, or be we from a Greek background or some other South Indian background, North Indian background, whatever background we come from, there is no limitation for God to equip us. Okay, so but there should be a desire to be equipped. For example, if I don't respond to my mentor, like I said, a discipler will disciple you. But if I don't respond, if I keep on saying, "Arey, it's okay, they don't understand," or "I don't think," we need to stretch ourselves in such a way that we don't know why God is doing that, why God wanted. So eventually, if you go to read, it says that Paul asked Timothy to be circumcised. Why would you want Timothy to be circumcised? Whereas in the Bible, it is also given that when he met Titus, another disciple like Timothy, he did not tell him to be circumcised. So there are different ways and methodologies that our leaders or our mentors will tell us to do. One person, he may give more responsibility. One person, he may give lesser responsibility. Like, everybody cannot be Joshua. Everybody is not equipped to fight the war. But some people may be equipped like Timothy. Some people may be equipped like Titus. So we can never compare each other. But we need to know that, yes, God is interested in me. And therefore, I need to respond to this. Okay. So grab every opportunity when it comes. When there is a call that is coming, come along with me. We'll go, we'll do this, we'll do that. Maybe we are time constrained. But let's just respond saying, okay, let me adjust here and there. And we go ahead and do that. Over the period of time, we will know and understand that, yes, truly that day that person told me, and today I'm reaping. Okay, reaping basically. So reaping doesn't come immediately. Reaping comes after years of obedience and grinding, chiseling. So when you see a diamond, it needs a lot of chiseling because it needs to shine, right? So equipping also takes a lot of effort. A soldier cannot be sent into the field just like that. A lot of rigorous work has to be done. Similarly, even equipping. Now, who needs to be equipped? Already gave the answer, but you can also tell. Wonderful. Who needs to be equipped? Who? Look at that. Who can be equipped? A disciple? Every one of us. So can you tell your name and tell the other person? Say for example, Angel can be equipped. Can you tell your neighbor? Yes. Hallelujah. So we all can be equipped. Okay, we all can be equipped. It's just a matter of, you know, a little bit of listening from God, being in that tent, okay, of presence. We all can be equipped. So, how do we know that? The Bible says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, who is with us? I am with you always, to the very end of the age. Okay. So God says that, don't worry, I'm there with you. Go ahead. So this commission was given to them immediately? No. After 3 years of rigorous training, they were with Jesus 3 years. They saw him doing miracles. They saw him, how he spoke to that Canaanite woman. They saw him preaching the parables to those 5,000 people. They saw him doing miracles. They saw him walking in water. And after all that, Jesus says, now you go and make disciples. Okay, so we may be in the church for X number of years, or we may have been a believer for X number of years. But God is telling all of us today, therefore go and make disciples of all nations. So we are all being equipped, and we all need to be equipped. So Ephesians 4, 11 to 16. I want one of you to read this loudly. Who's good?
To equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of Him who is the head, that is Christ. From Him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work.
So what happens is, when we do our part, for example, I'll just take one small example. Sheetal and Sanju live in Mahalakshmi Nagar, right? And Sandeep lives in Amity. Now, if Sandeep says, "Nahi, nahi, I'm not going to do God's work, I'm not going to be equipped." Now, what will happen is, one part of the body will say, "Nahi, nahi, I don't want to do, I am not equipped. Okay, I don't want to get into all this." But whereas if Sheetal and Sanji say, "Okay, fine, we want to do something in Mahalakshmi Nagar." So which part or which area of the city will grow? One part only. And can they come to this Amity? No, because we don't have access there. Only He has access. So if every part of the body in Christ takes up the responsibility and says, "I am going to be equipped. I am going to do something here. I will," so it says here, no? So Christ Himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip His people for works of service. Okay, so it does not mean that, oh, I am a pastor, only I can become a pastor. No, you can become a teacher, you can become an evangelist, you can become a prophet. So these are the fivefold ministries. You can get into anything. It's not pastor only, but you know, and I have to become a missionary. Nothing like that. Wherever you are, whichever place you are, maybe you are in a college, maybe you can be an influence there. You can be equipped there. How will I get equipped? I don't even know the word of God. I don't even know what to talk and people question me about God. So what do I do? How do I become equipped? It says, Michael Yusuf says that whenever God calls us to a task, He will equip us and enable us to complete the task. So we need not worry that, oh, okay. Even in the Bible it says that whenever we are questioned, the Holy Spirit will give us the words to speak at that time. Okay, so we may also be surprised that many things go on. Like, how did I say that? How did those words come out of us? Talk to others through us. So when we look outside, when we have the desire like Joshua and Timothy and Titus to be equipped, we will be able to get to that part of wherever we are. Okay, so how does God equip us? He gives us an opportunity. As I said, we have numerous opportunities as individuals and as a church to make all know God, hear the voice of God. God presents us with opportunity to make exploits for Him. Okay? So He gives us opportunities. We just need to grab it. Okay? So can we tell our neighbor, I need to grab this opportunity? Okay, so we are going to tell for every five things that we have put up. Through affliction. Now you may feel that, why am I suffering so much? Why so much of problem? Because God is trying to equip you. Now tomorrow, if somebody like this comes to you, you may be able to witness of faith to that person and say that, you know, I was also suffering like this. Or, see, this is how. I'm a miracle of God. Okay. So, through affliction, God uses our suffering to help others and complete tasks for Him. How? It is God who comforts us in all affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. It is given in 2 Corinthians 1:4. Okay, the comfort that God gives us, we are able to comfort others. Now, third, through gifts. Okay, so how do we equip ourselves? We are, if you are a Christian, you must have a gift. So can you think of one gift that God has given you? Gift means not those gifts that somebody has given you. Gift means like you are gifted in serving. Some people are very gifted in serving. Whenever you go to their home, they are immediately, they'll come up with something, quick snack or quick, you know, something. They're so gifted in serving. Some people are very gifted in singing, gifted in visiting hospitals. Whenever you are sick, they will immediately call you and pray for you, or they will come to see you. So they want to, like, they are so compassionate. So some people are gifted. So can we think of one gift? If you are still discovering, then you can. So now what you have to tell is, you tell your neighbor what you are gifted in. Say, I am gifted in one gift only. You are gifted in some people can be gifted in prophetic, some people may be gifted in different things. So you are gifted in, say, I am still discovering. Okay? So yes, somebody, so sometimes or many times, you know what happens, we may not know our gifting, but somebody from the church will tell you, hey, you are good at this, you should do. And you say, no. Like, you are either very humble or, like, you know, you don't want to get into this course. Okay? So you may say, okay, fine. So, but maybe God is pointing you at that. Maybe you have been teaching. Maybe you have been. So through gifts, we may be equipped. Okay. So He's given them to us, the gifts, okay? So we should use them. Paul says that all of us in the body of Christ, the church, okay, each of us has their own gift from God. One of one kind and one of another. So it says in 1 Corinthians 7:7 that each of us has been given. So nobody is neglected. Nobody is like, you know, a disliked child, like the ugly duckling. And none of us are ugly ducklings. We know the story, right? You can Google it. Okay, so ugly duckling means they have not been given. But God has given us all the gifts. So we should discover it. Now, how do we get equipped? Through the church. As I mentioned earlier, we have to be equipped through the church. God has equipped us by giving us the church. The church and its ministries also equips believers for service. God knows that you can't do it alone. You can't live in isolation. So He has prepared you a community of people called out of the world. You need a community so that you can know Him more and make Him known. In Romans 12:10-13 it says, be devoted to one another in love, honor one another above yourself, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the lost people who are in need. Practice hospitality. So you can do so much more, right? Then finally, we are equipped through the Holy Spirit. So can we say the Spirit of God resides in you? Yes. So through the Holy Spirit who resides in us, who stays in us, we are equipped. The Spirit of God lives in us and is with us always in the work that God has called us to do, in the work that God has called us to do. Remember, He is your partner, for we are God's fellow workers. Holy Spirit empowers belief in witnessing. So Jesus also equips us through His cross to take up His yoke, which is light, and we need to walk with that. He equips us to fight greater battles of life. So, so when we have seen in a car race, okay, when we have a race course or something, you have this whole group of people who immediately, suppose if there is a fuel lacking in the car, immediately the crew will come and pick up the fuel, or the tire is getting rubbed very bad. Immediately a crew will come and somebody will fix up the tire. Okay. So in a similar manner, each of us, like how I said earlier, each of us is given a part or a role to play. And if we don't do it, that area will be lacking. But definitely God will bring the other person into that area. But what have we missed? We have missed an opportunity to be equipped in God's kingdom. So we need to know that where God is going to use me, how God is going to use me. Age does not matter. Background does not matter. That's what we said, no? Like Joshua was equipped by God. Age does not matter. Background does not matter. Whether I can speak any language, English, Hindi, Marathi, any of the language doesn't matter. God can use you wherever. Only thing that we need to be doing is being available. Okay? And being vulnerable to be equipped. Okay? So as we are being discipled, we will be equipped. So we just thank God for this and we just pray and continue. Father God, we want to thank you, Lord, that you will equip us. Lord, the gifts that you have given to us, the opportunities that you have given to us. Lord, that we will not oversee or we will not overlook it, O Lord God, and say, this is not me. But Lord, that we will grab every opportunity. We will do it not by our strength, but with the strength of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we want to just trust you. Because Lord, we don't want to be in this world for a number of years and then leave this earth without any fruitfulness. Because your word says, bear fruit. For you have equipped us, you have discipled us. Lord, your word says, go forth and make disciples of all nations. Lord, we want to adhere to that commandment. Say, Lord, equip us, teach us. Lord, help us to grow. The church, the community, which will equip us. Help us to grab that opportunity. Help us to learn. Help us to apply wisdom and knowledge that you have given to us. And in the process, of Lord, we will be able to bless so many of us, so many of our neighborhood people, so many of our relatives, so many of the people who do not have a hope, O Lord. We will be given to you. Equip us, O Lord God. Train us, O Lord God, and teach us, O Lord God. We bless this time. We give this our hearts, O Lord, to you, Lord. Train us, teach us, equip us. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Can you see a picture? Yes? It's a Formula One pit stop. So each one works together to achieve a common goal. And everyone has a different role. The driver who's sitting, it's not like his race. It is the entire team's race. There's a team sitting not here at the back. You know, they are monitoring. And they are giving instructions to each one of them. And it's all about timing, perfection, quality. And in that time, that second, if they don't do, then pit stop fails and the race has to be end. Because it's all about milliseconds, microseconds. If a guy who's fixing the tire, he thinks that it is not my race, you know, then the race is gone. If someone who's sitting at the back and monitoring this and not giving the instructions rightly, then the race is gone. This is because
you know, he has not given the instructions. A guy who needs to fill, you know, the fuel, that is gone if he doesn't give us right instructions. A guy who's just helping with the, you know, just a tire, he's not in the main role. But if he doesn't get it and give it to this person, the race fails. It's very unique, prophetic for our church as well. As body of Christ, if we don't work together in sync, in unity, he doesn't say that it is not my job, it is his job, he's the main guy, but he still waits, well equipped, waiting for the kingdom of God to be built. So this morning, you know, we can transform this Panvel city, and God has given us that vision. It is no other than we, and we have been called in this race, race for the kingdom of God. And each one is unique. A person standing out, not in frame, who is not even visible, he also is part of this team. A person who is in all focus, he is also part of the team. A person who is just standing at the back, he is also part of the team. Everyone plays a crucial role. And this morning, I believe God is challenging us. And one of our roles is getting equipped as a church. If we are not equipped, we can't go out and equip others. And this entire week, or this year, you know, ask God, that what is God? What is my role? I'm ready to do whatever. Because we are a different parts of body. That is the body of Christ, that is church. We consider this as church. You know, there are different bodies, playing different roles, doing different things. And there is someone who is looking, which is not visible. Maybe God is looking at us, and how this body functions. So we can question ourselves, and we can kind of take this forward. Thank you. So the service is over. We can have fellowship with each other. And after this, we will have foundation. Thank you. Sharp at 12.